So we had our winter storm come through Savannah and further south even. You know, and there were a couple of inches here in Savannah, which no one would have thought. You know, for around here, that's enough to close things down for a few days. Now, those of the north think it's strange and think we're wimpy for closing things down when there's less than a foot of snow. But remember, for those in the north, remember us. We don't have snow tires. We don't have snow plows. We don't even have shovels and ice scrapers. The Savannah Hilton Head International Airport didn't even have the ability to clear their runways or de-ice the planes. They didn't start flying until, what, noon today, I think, of the first flights that are going out. So here in the South, there's so many who have never even seen this much snow. The last time we got any kind of snow was 6 years ago. Maybe if it was 2018, right? It's been a while since they even had flurries down here. To see a couple of inches like this, it iced up the roads. And then not only did it ice it up at night, it refroze, making it all the more difficult to get out. Now, being from the north originally, you can't tell from my accent, but I started out in New York. You know, I know how to take care of this kind of stuff, to be honest with you. I really do. But I went from New York to Florida to Georgia now to get out of the snow, to get out of the cold. There was a family message chain going. And we told them about the snow. And I said, well, I'm not going out there to shovel. I moved to the South to get out of that. I'll just shelter in place. I'm not going out there. But then it turns out I couldn't, because it was more than just the one-day event, because that's normally what it is around here. It snows, it melts, you're on your own after that. Fine. But that's not what happened here. It snowed, it stayed. It melted a little bit, and then it refroze to black ice. It was a strange kind of thing. So after telling my family, I'm not going out there to shovel, well, later on in the day, I thought about it a little bit more. And there I was, bundled up, shoveling slowly so I didn't get a heart attack. But I was out there, I was bundled, I was shoveling. And you know, as I was shoveling out there, I looked up and down the block. No one else was shoveling. That's really strange for me, because I remember in New York, as soon as it stopped snowing, everybody's out shoveling, right? It doesn't matter how long it took. You were out there shoveling. Excuse me. So it made me think, either I'm right or they're right. Or there was some room in the middle where, you know, both of us are right or none of us are right. There was, you know, who knows? Now, I bring this up today because as I was doing all of that shoveling, it was easy to see that I could think that, you know, look, I'm out here doing the right thing. You guys are in your much warmer houses, just resting up, just doing nothing. So it would be easy for me to say, look how much better I am than my neighbors. I'm doing the right thing. They're not doing the right thing. Now, of course, I can make a joke out of this now, but it's leading to something. We as believers can find ourselves comparing what we're doing to others and thinking that since what we're doing is different than what everyone else is doing, we must be in a good place. we're doing what we should, what I think I should be doing. I'm doing what I think I should be doing. They're not doing it. I must be better than they are. People could think, I pray sometimes. They don't pray at all. I trust in Adonai most of the time. They don't trust in God at all. I give some. They don't give at all. We can make ourselves feel good by comparing ourselves to those who we think are beneath us or doing incorrectly. But boy, can we be more wrong when we compare ourselves to what others are doing? When we look at the Apostle Paul, Rav Shaul, for an example, and he should be considered such a great man and Messiah, one of the very best men of all time, wrote most of the Brit Hadashah, it seems. He instructed us and pointed us to the Messiah, so that in my mind makes him very great. But look what he says about comparing himself to others in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 10:12. We do not dare to classify or compare ourselves with some who commend themselves. When they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are not wise. One of the greats of all times, Rav Shaul says, he would not dare compare himself to those who think themselves as great at the time. There's room for boasting, but only in Messiah Yeshua. He sees people around him who want to present themselves to others as above and greater than. But he warns that they are using a false measure. Imagine if I think myself tall and I stand up against the wall and I measure myself and I look and I go, I'm tall. Compared to what? What's the comparison to? What's the measure to? Well, they were measuring themselves to themselves, and therefore they think that if they're doing what they think is good, then they must be good in Adonai's eyes. There is a measure or a standard, and we should never think that it's either found in us or in any man. And that is a standard that is Scripture given by Adonai, given by God. For us today, we can look around and see so many people to compare ourselves to. Look at that athlete, how graceful he is. The businessman on TV, so successful. And maybe the worst thing is, look at that person and how beautiful they look. All of these are false measures of success and greatness. The world wants to present a standard that it wants you to try to raise yourself up to. But this is not the calling for you as a believer. The world's standards want you to think you need to be as close to what they think you should be. And then you're supposed to go out and boast about it. Facebook and the internet are such a great tool for the world and Satan to use to make us want to follow others. It can make so many envious of what they do and what they think and what they have. But this is not who Adonai wants us to be. Adonai himself tells us this in Exodus 20 within the 10 words or the 10 commandments. Exodus 20:17. Do not covet your neighbor's house, your neighbor's wife, his manservant, his maidservant, his ox, his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. This may be the final commandment given, the 10th of the 10. But that does not make it any less than the others. We are not to desire anything of others. If you make room for covetousness in your life, then it creates a desire for things and a desire to gain the things, to gain what they have, to look like they look, to have what they have. And that could be, that could cause people to do things to get them that's not right. It could cause stealing. It could be cause taking from Adonai by reducing his tithe or by lying or cheating. The issue with the largest influencers on the web is that they are only people. They're only people that others look up to, but for all the wrong reasons. They just want to say, look at me, be like me. They say, I will tell you what to buy and what to think and how to look. Rav Shaul tells us what to think about that in Galatians 6. Galatians 6, starting in 3. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone, without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. We may want to apply that first part that says if anyone thinks too much of themselves to those on Facebook and those on TV and those around us. Right? But that's not the way we should really apply that piece of scripture. They don't know what the word says about that. As believers, we should know that we're to apply the scripture not to others, but to ourselves. The problem is not so much how much they think of themselves, but what we think of them. And then perhaps even more, what we think of ourselves. The most important part of this scripture that I read is not who we compare ourselves to, in my opinion, is but what we compare ourselves to. It says that each should test their own actions. So we don't test what others are doing, but we test ourselves. But the important thing is what we test ourselves against. Not the standards of the world, but the standard that is Adonai. The thing to keep in mind is what we use as a measure is what we trust in. When I need to measure a length of rope and I take a tape measure, I trust the tape measure that it's right. When we compare ourselves to others or to men, we're actually putting our trust in that man, thinking that this is the standard that I'm to measure myself with. But look at what we're told in Isaiah. Isaiah 2, verse 22. Stop trusting in mere humans who have but a breath in their nostrils. Why hold them in esteem? If we are using them as our standard, you are trusting them and giving them esteem. Why do we do that? They are just mere men who are flawed, just like you and me. Maybe they hide it better, but that's who they are. Flawed men. We all are. And if we want to be like others who are flawed, then what we're saying is we want to be flawed too. We must not be, that must not be our way of thinking. We are not created to be followers of flawed men, but be a follower of a perfect God. Holding them in esteem is also a way of seeking their or other people's approval. Again, we are warned that this is not the way we as believers should be. Rav Shaul wrote this in his letter to the Galatians. Galatians 1:10, starting there. Am I now trying to win people's approval or God's? Or am I trying to please people? If I was still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Messiah. Now I want to know, brothers and sisters, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the good news proclaimed by me is not man-made. I did not receive it from any human, nor was I taught it, but it came through a revelation of Yeshua the Messiah. We want to be servants of Messiah. Therefore, we are not to try to win people's approval. Now, that's not to say that we don't try to be good to others, but not for their approval. But instead, it's because we are followers of the example left for us. Shaul said that when we follow his example, we're not actually following him, but that we're following the example of Yeshua, who came to him as a revelation, and the Torah, and the Yeshua, who taught out of it. That's where he got his good word to share. Therefore, we're not really following him. We're following what he got from Adonai. We do not do things so people look at us and say, wow, look at them. But so that they look at Adonai and say, wow, look at that God. I want to be part of that. We also want to be looked at by Adonai. And we want Adonai to look at us and say, wow, look at them, my good and faithful servants. That's who we have to be. That's who we want to be. We are to try not to look good for the sake of people. And this is what Shaul wrote to Timothy in the second letter that he wrote to him, or at least in the second letter that was recorded. 2 Timothy 2:15. Make every effort to present yourself before God as tried and true, as an unashamed worker, cutting a straight path with the word of truth. Now you have a presence before people, but you are to be present before them. You are to have a presence. You have a presence before people, but you are to present yourself before God as tried and true. And there's a difference there. Most media people want to have a presence in the world so they are noticed and that they're followed. We should not look to be seen by people, but we cannot help to be seen. We have flesh, we're physical, we get seen. But that's not who we're to be, people who are seen. But when it comes to God, we want to make the effort to be present ourselves, to present ourselves in a way that will please Him. This is by being tried and true. But tried and true to what again? To the word of Adonai as told in both the Tanakh and the Brit Hadashah. When we walk that path, when we're cutting that path with the word as our guide to make that path straight, we use the word of Scripture unlike the world uses words, because our Adonai's words are powerful. As told in Hebrews 4:12 says this, for the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing right through to separation of soul and spirit, joints and marrows, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Many of us know that verse. The words of the influencers on the internet may have power to persuade, but the power of Adonai's words is to change lives for eternity. The use of the word of God in your life is the cutting of bindings of the world from you and separating your old self from your new self in Messiah. So let us not give in to envy, to anything of the world. Proverbs 14 says this, in Proverbs 14:30, a tranquil heart is life to the body, but envy is rottenness to the bone. Envy rots the bones of those who are envious. It doesn't affect the one you're looking up to, but it will rot you from the inside when you give place to anything or anyone other than Adonai. We are not to place people above us on a pedestal, but we are called to be watchful of others and help them whenever possible. Right? Philippians 2:1, starting there. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Messiah, if there is any comfort of love, if there's any fellowship of the Ruach, if there's any mercy and compassion, then make my joy complete by being of the same mind, having the same love, united in spirit and one purpose. Do nothing out of selfishness or conceit, but with humility consider others as more important than yourselves, looking out not only for your own interests, but for the interest of others. Look out for people, but don't look up to people. Don't lift yourself up also, but lift up other people. We are not called to live in a bubble where others cannot touch us, or you can't, or we can't touch them, but we're to keep a right mindset and a right heart attitude in life. Don't look at others and desire what they have or who they are. Remember what we're told in Psalm 73 verse 1, and in the English versions it actually starts in verse 2. It's a Psalm of Asaph. Surely God is good to Israel, to the pure of heart. But as for me, my feet almost slipped. My steps nearly slid out from under me, for I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Don't allow yourself to fall into the snare of envy. The psalmist says that his feet almost slid out from under him. That rock that he was previously standing on became slippery because of his sin of envy, and he almost fell off of it. But it's the word of Adonai that will steady us and allow us to push envy from our lives. This is why we must keep the word of Adonai near and even within us. Now finally, let's take a look at 118 that says this. 118 verse 6. Adonai is for me, I will not fear. What can man do to me? Adonai is for me as my helper. I will see the downfall of those who hate me. It is better to take refuge in Adonai than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in Adonai than to trust in princes. I'm going to say it's not just what can man do to me, but what can man do for me? Not just physically in things, but also in the ideas and ideals that we have. Look to Adonai for your ideas. Look to Adonai for your ideals. He is the source of your good and your good ideas. He is the standard for us and the only one that we need and that will succeed for us. So regardless if you're the only one shoveling or praying in the neighborhood or on the block, even in your house, keep on going and do not get envious when you see others doing other things that look good. but are not things of Adonai. Don't compare yourself to anyone or anything except for the word of Adonai. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Father, that you, by the help of your Ruach, you help us to keep our eye on you, to keep our eyes off the world. Ruach, you know, we know that Facebook can bring us scripture verses. It can bring us words of encouragement. But it also can be so much garbage. Well, first I ask two things. Ruach, help us not to put more garbage onto the internet. But help us to shield our hearts from the garbage that is there. And help us to not envy others, envy the things they have, envy the things that they look like, envy their prosperity, envy their positions. But help us to stand firm on the rock, that envy would not cause our feet to slip and slide, but instead help us to stand firm on your word so that we can reach up to you with firm knowledge that you will reach down to us to bless us and steady us and to help us move forward, you and you alone. We thank you and praise you, and everyone says, amen and amen.